Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Magla Pillay and today it is my pleasure to interview Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. Today's topic is the law of karma, and what we will look at in this show is why people have become what they have. We will look at, as the topic suggests, people's personal ethics, their own sense of morality, their personal code, their conscience, and to see why, although people believe that they should behave in a certain way and people have the intention of doing the right thing, their actions actually cause them harm as well as cause people around them harm. And so Sister Denise will be taking up this subject as well as other subjects in this show to show how people can act in accordance with their conscience and can act in a manner that will actually benefit them as opposed to harm them and others. Sister Denise, a very, very warm welcome to today's show, and thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
The law of karma is understood across the globe, maybe not in those words, but it is something that is spoken of in every religion, and people use the words, but if we look at what the world has become, it's obviously punishment everywhere you see. Could you tell us about the law of karma, and could you tell us something about it that is not well known?
What I think we need to look at is how karmic accounts operate, because the law of karma is very simple. Whatever you do, there will be an equal and opposite return. So good action produces a good return, bad action produces a bad return. This is why we call it good and bad. And so people know it superficially, but they don't know it deeply. So I think we need to know it much more deeply in order to be able to work with it, because knowing it superficially causes us to actually work against it, and that puts us in a lot more trouble. When two people have a karmic account with each other, there is a kind of magnetic energy that occurs that will cause a magnetic attraction, which will make those people meet, and it will cause a circumstance to arise so that they are tied up in one another's interaction, which will create a setup where the account will be settled. So the settlement of account means that you settle a debt. So karmic account means that in interaction between people, I give, you take, you return, I give back. The aim is to try to keep everything balanced so that we're operating pretty much close to zero. I want to have a little bit of karmic credit, but if I put you in too much debt to me, then this will create a lot of disturbance, which will cause this effort to put you in debt to stop. Or the other way around, if I take so much from you that it puts me in great debt to you, there'll be something that will try to stop that, because the balance in terms of laws of karma is people can have a little bit of debt and a little bit of credit with each other. But beyond a little bit, it starts moving into heavy duty suffering. And that is in terms of debt. But there's also the question of karmic credit, and this is where the whole philosophy of charity comes in. Now, when people are interacting with each other, they're in a relationship. So you have family relationships, business relationships, political relationships, etc. But usually the significant relationships between people are the relationships with their immediate family members. A lot of people have a very intense relationship in terms of their education, their professional connections or their business connections, and possibly even the people who are their religious mentors. And the aim of life is to go into profit, which means you want to do good action so that you get good return, so that your future is better than your present. But what happens very often is, because people don't understand the details of the laws of karma, you may do an action which is designed to put you in profit, but if that is maybe just financial profit, you have to see what is the cost of that. Cost in human terms, cost in terms of your relationship with the earth, and so on. And so all of this is calculated. It's an automatic mechanism, the law of karma. And so, for example, you can get a large amount of money, but which causes a great amount of human suffering. That money will stay with you for a very short time, and you will be called to account for all that human suffering that you have caused. So one of the things that's a real problem in the world today is that people make maximum amount of money out of the weapons trade, the flesh trade, and the drug trade. And so it also creates vast amount of human suffering. And so, you know, you can understand that somebody who is causing all of this suffering, the laws of karma also bring in the question of reincarnation. So if in your birth you're causing a lot of human suffering to get a lot of short-term financial gain, your next birth you will be in somewhat like the opposite situation. The situation that you put other people in, you will be in that situation: destitute, drug addicted, abused, whatever. And so this is one of the reasons why people really don't like to hear about the laws of karma, because when you see people in very pitiable conditions, that you feel sorry for them, and you wonder, how did they get in this situation? Well, the law of karma will say, well, they must have done something for which this is the karmic return. And so then it puts you in a strange situation. Do you feel sorry for them? Do you want to help them? Do you feel they deserve what they get? You know, it puts people in a very ambivalent mentality. Charity, mercy, forgiveness, goodness is always good. But, you know, when people are settling their karmic accounts through very difficult life situations, we have to have a kind of very careful balance between, yeah, I understand that they have done something to create this situation, and if you look at a person's characteristics who is in that situation, and see, well, what are the sanskaras? Because the actions that a person performs are because of sanskaras, and in the next birth the sanskaras are still there. So if you see a person in a very pitiable condition, but who has all of these sanskaras of causing a lot of harm for people, you can understand that they're continuing in that direction, and that they're suffering because of that. So then the question arises, what can be done? You know, can a person be taught to go in the opposite direction? Well, theoretically, yes, they can. But if a person has been doing really, really severe things and is in a really, really severe situation, they may not be able to pull together the strength to actually get themselves out of it. And that would be called really unfortunate. And so even if a person is doing very negative action and getting away with it, a person who understands the laws of karma will still look at that person and say, you know, it's possible for you not to do this, but you're headed in a direction which tells me that you're really destroying your fortune. You are, you know, a very unfortunate person. Look at all this damage that you're creating. And they won't get it, you know.
Sister Denise, is the law of karma logical? What law governs the law of karma?
The law of karma is itself.
Okay, can I ask it in this manner? I knew somebody who was totally harmless, who was incapable of hurting a fly, who was murdered. And I cannot understand how somebody who didn't have a single thought of harming another human being ever can attract such violent karma. Because what you're saying is she would have murdered someone else in a previous birth.
Possibly, you know, but again, you have to look at the sanskaras.
Does murder beget murder? Does it work like that?
Yes.
Okay, so she was a murderer and then became a nice person?
You don't know. Because the philosophy of karma is extremely intricate. So in the case that you're mentioning, you have to look at the sanskaras. So the sanskaras are this person is absolutely non-violent. And so, you know, you do not know enough about the history of the soul to be able to say categorically. You know enough to say that it is possible that this is a karmic settlement, but you cannot say for sure because there's so much that is unknown, because you never know what happened in people's previous births. It's very complex.
So in terms of what you just said, there is no such thing as a victim, is there?
I think you can have a victim mentality and draw predators to yourself by your attitude. You know, which is another karma that you're doing. You know, if a person doesn't learn to be in their self-respect, to be in their purity and so on and so forth, and has bought into a mentality that has been maybe put upon them by their conditioning that they went along with, you know, there's an element of choice in there. So that a person is failing to take care of themselves. But you can see how complicated it is. It's very, very difficult for a human being to set themselves in judgment over another human being, because it's so difficult to know all of the circumstances that are involved in the situation. Of course, one has to. One finds oneself in that situation. And if you were a good judge, that's great, you know. But that takes a very special kind of person.
Okay, so somebody is in a situation where they're a victim and they understand that it's the law of karma. Should they, in this position, continue being a victim and think this will end when the debt is settled, or should I think, hold on, I'm not a victim under any circumstances, I want out?
I don't think it's quite as clear cut as that. Something bad happens to you.
Okay, can I give you my question in a context? A woman, I come from a country where domestic violence is rife. So a woman who has no financial prospects, who unemployed, who is zero education, who is a victim of domestic violence and obviously financially, totally financially dependent on her husband as well as her three children. And she's living in an abusive relationship for years. What is the, what is she to do? If she is listening to this program and thinks, wow, I want to become spiritually enlightened?
Well, you know, I do believe very much that a person has to go inside and just feel, am I paying or what, you see? Because this you can feel intuitively. So if you have a sense that, yeah, okay, I have a debt with this person, and then how big is the debt? In my own life, I've had to settle karma with different people. It hasn't, fortunately, been all that heavy. But in my own experience, I remember calculating just intuitively that, okay, I owe a 2,000 British pounds to this person, and so they are extracting from me this amount of money over this period of time, and then when it's finished, you get a kind of a signal, an internal signal, okay, that's it, thank you very much, goodbye, it's over, debt settled. You know, and maybe I'm unusually intuitive about these things. I had another experience where I was in a close relationship with somebody for 5 years, and then when that 5 years was up, it was like, okay, thank you very much, goodbye, it's over, it's finished, debt settled, you know. And of course, most people are not so intuitive, because the thing is, if you get a sense that it's a debt, well, you pay it until it's over. But the problem happens when a person is in a debt. They resent having to pay, so they will do something which will amplify the debt, increase the debt, and then they get tied in this situation. And I think this is really what is the case that you were mentioning, you see, because you will react and you will resent and you will do something so that you get tied, and you'll never come out of that because it's a vicious circle. So I feel very fortunate that I'm very sensitive to these things, and when somebody is coming along to extract some payment from me and I sense, yeah, there is a debt here, okay, we'll just finish it, and then when it's finished I'll get a signal, which I always do, that's it, finish. So I think what I try to do is make myself as wealthy as possible in terms of spiritual power and qualities and so on, so that when somebody is giving you a hard time, you can handle it pretty easily. Then when it's over, it's over. Thank you very much. That was good. Have a nice time, you know.
Okay, so then no one can do anything about their past karmic debts because it's already been created.
That's it.
What is the way forward with this understanding that you've shared?
In spiritual practice, we learn that you can settle your karmic accounts through yoga.
And what does that mean?
That means, it's a very strange statement which requires a lot of thought, because yoga, you're meditating, you're taking in light and power and virtues and qualities from God. How does that affect your karmic account? Well, what it does, according to my calculations, is it makes you wealthy. So if you all of a sudden have a big debt and you don't have any money, it's a big catastrophe. But if you get a big debt and you have plenty of wealth, it's very easy for you to pay that off. And it doesn't necessarily mean money, monetarily the debt is there, but it can be that someone will give you a hard time, make you suffer, try to draw you into some trap or another. But if you're spiritually wealthy, you will see the game, you will not get caught up in it, you will pay whatever you have to pay, and it's the least difficult way of handling the account. Another way in which accounts are settled is through illness, and there you may not necessarily have a connection with a person. Why would you get ill? There's many different reasons, but when you get ill, you suffer. And if you are very powerful, then you can get through that illness easily. If you're not powerful, that illness can overcome you and even kill you, you see. So I think a lot of this has to do with accumulating inner power so that you can just handle whatever comes down the line with the least amount of difficulty, because you're empowering yourself.
Okay, that you're actually encroached upon my next question, which is the best way to handle debts, karmic debts, whether it's an account with your body, whether it's an account with someone else, whether it's an account with matter. What is the best way to manage punishment when it hits you full on?
Well, you need power, spiritual power. The best power is tolerance, because the debt will take the form of, you say, punishment. That means you will experience distress, pain, maybe character assassination, false accusation, many, many things will come. And so if you can endure that pain and just get through it without reacting, without making it worse, without doing something to increase the debt, then you finish it easily.
Okay. So Denise, somebody who has an interest in spiritual enlightenment, how would they lead their lives differently from somebody who's not, in terms of the law of karma? How would they, what kind of choices would they make? Because the scenario you just described, and understanding the depths of the law and karma, of karma, you mentioned the word superficiality, and you implied that most people's understanding of it is superficial. So if one goes to the depths of understanding, like the way you just enunciated, how do I change then? What do I change? Do I change what I do? Do I change the way I think?
Yes.
What do I change?
All of these things. You know, normally if somebody does something bad to you, you think, this is a bad person, they did this, they shouldn't do this, they need to be punished. So you get all your energy towards doing something bad to them. But once you understand the laws of karma, and you start saying to yourself, either this is a payment I'm making, so let me finish it. Do not look at the person as their behavior, but just understand, here's a circumstance in which I'm settling an account, and then you pay the debt, and you don't consider that what the person is doing is a bad thing, because then immediately your energy is going in an antagonistic way towards that person, which means you will go into debt. I see. So you increase the debt by doing that. Then you make a commitment that I will not have any bad thought about anyone, ever. Because if you have...
I will not have a bad thought about anyone ever. Okay. Are you allowed to have bad thoughts against somebody who's hurting you?
Well, if you do, you're increasing the debt. That's my point.
Ow!
You see, somebody does something against you, you have to be very subtle and understand, okay, well, that's their performance in this world drama. Now, what is going to be my performance? Because when you're learning spirituality, you think very differently. You say, I am a performer. I'm in some situation where there are characters and circumstances, and I have to perform second by second. My performance in terms of my thought, my words, my actions should be the very best.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you there. I was under the impression that you can only create karma through words and actions. Now you are saying you can create karma with your mind?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. People, the problem is worse than we think. How do you do that? How do we do that? Why, if I think I don't like you, what? How am I creating a karma?
They will feel it.
Not necessarily. I could fake it with a smile.
They will feel it. They will know your smile is fake.
Okay.
Because but how vibration?
How is it an account?
Because you have created that vibration of I hate you. They pick it up. They feel hated. So you've created a debt. So something will come back to you of that nature.
hatred.
And I mean, there's a you can do a lot of things to disturb people by mind games
without saying a word.
Without saying a word.
Okay. Last question. When you pay an account, do you pay the capital debt or do you pay with interest? And if you pay with interest, is it compound interest? We're going into economics, people.
You know, if you are in your spiritual awareness and you're in your power and so on, it just finishes the debt. You pay the bill.
Now, and if not?
If you say, I refuse to pay this bill, this is not right, you're the one who's bad and so on, then there's an escalation and it gets worse. And this is where you have the interest coming up.
Okay, Sister Denise, there are people in this world who are evil. Evil. Who harm children in the most shocking manner imaginable. Now, if society in general has a feeling of abhorrence for such a person because he, she harmed a child, what is that? Aren't you justified in your feelings?
Well, you're talking about paedophile, right?
Yes.
Yes. So you have to look in the history of that person.
Oh,
because it's very unlikely that person was not violated in his or her childhood.
Okay.
So the thing you have to look at is how this is something that has escalated over a long, long period of time, because the victim becomes the predator.
Okay, does the predator... what I was saying is it's natural that the predator invokes feelings of disgust, hatred, revenge, kill him, etc.
You mean on the part of society?
Yes.
It's not natural, but it's normal. Well, maybe you want to call
it
natural.
No, it's natural. I maintain it's natural. Yes, so what now? Has he not earned hate? Ah, here's another thing. Hate can be earned, can it not?
Well, you're going to the same situation of blame the victim. Because your predator is also a victim, probably no less than the person who is his victim. It just rolls, you see. And so the question is not really look at the individual incident of a person who has preyed upon a child, but look at what has led up to it.
And if you do, look what changes.
What changes is you make people aware that most of the people around who call themselves so moral and good are not so clean as they maintain.
Okay. Unfortunately, on that very high note, we have come to the end of our segment and we have to say goodbye to our audience. Sister Denise, your talk has been extremely enlightening, insightful. I did not know that one could create karma through thoughts, but there you have it. If you're thinking something bad, stop it right now. Sister Denise has shared that one can create karma on the level of thoughts, the level of words, as well as the level of actions. And she also showed us techniques as to how to stop creating negative karma and how to settle negative karma with dignity, which I think is a very valid lesson for all of us. But the main aspect that one could take from this is be very careful before you judge another, because there's not a single one of us who come to the table, I think, with clean hands. I think that is the expression that comes to mind. So, Mr. Denise, thank you so much for your wisdom, and we here in the studio hope to see you again soon. Thank you and goodbye.